In recent weeks, Hamas has released 33 Israeli hostages in return for some 2,000 Palestinians imprisoned in Israel. We turn now to look at a new report by Physicians for Human Rights Israel titled Unlawfully Detained, Tortured, and Starved, the Plight of Gaza's Medical Workers in Israeli Custody. The report documents how Israel systematically imprisoned and abused Palestinian doctors and medical staff from Gaza. The list of jailed Palestinian doctors include the Gaza pediatrician, Dr. Hussam Abu Safia, who was detained at Kamal Adwan Hospital in December. Many in Gaza had hoped he would be among those freed this week, but he remains in Israeli detention. This is a recently freed Palestinian prisoner named Hakim describing what Dr. Abu Safia has been exposed to in detention.
Dr. Hussam was beaten, especially Dr. Hussam and us, the medical staff, out of all other captives. They beat us, cursed at us, and starved us, and they started punching him. Are you the doctor? Come here. And they beat him. We were under the impression that he was released, but apparently, and according to you, he still hasn't been freed. We call upon all those concerned with this matter. Dr. Hussam established and built the healthcare system. He's its pillar. Dr. Hussam is the pillar of the healthcare system in the northern Gaza Strip. He resisted, and despite the lack of treatment, he remained steadfast. When the entire medical staff was injured, he remained steadfast. We thought that we were going to hell, to death. There are places over there that are named after hell.
We're joined right now by Naji Abbas, the director of the Prisoners Department, Physicians for Human Rights Israel. He collected the testimonies for the group's new report, Unlawfully Detained, Tortured, and Starved, the Plight of Gaza's Medical Workers in Israeli Custody. And in Gaza, we are joined by Dr. Khaled Alser, renowned Palestinian surgeon at Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis. He was jailed by Israel for 7 months last year. He says he was beaten, humiliated, denied medical treatment, and tortured. No charges were filed against him. Dr. Alser was abducted by Israeli forces during a raid on Gaza's Nasser Hospital last March. At the time, he was one of the last remaining general surgeons in the hospital. Dr. Alser is also the lead author of the August 2024 report in The Lancet, headlined Trauma Care Supported Through a Global Telemedicine Initiative During the 2023-24 Military Assault on the Gaza Strip, Occupied Palestinian Territory, a case series. At the time of publication, the medical journal The Lancet put lead author whereabouts currently unknown. Dr. Khaled Alser, we're going to begin with you in Gaza, outside the hospital where you work. You were recently released from Israeli detention. Can you explain what happened to you?
Hello to you and to your audience. It happened to me last March 24. I was working in this hospital after it has been destructed by the Israeli army, IDF. They destroyed all of the department. At that time, we tried to reopen the hospital again, trying to clean the floors, clean the department, trying to open it as a medical point, at least to receive casualty. Back in March, there was a lot of threats against Palestine and Rafah, that Netanyahu threat that he will invade Rafah. So we tried to prepare the hospital to receive casualty at that time. When we surprised that the soldiers invaded the whole city and the hospital zone within 1 hour, shooting anyone walking in the street, and they brought a siege around the hospital for 2 days. After that, they ordered us to go outside the building, and they ordered us to take off our clothes. And they brought us naked, handcuffed from behind with plastic tie, and they handcuffed. They put plastic on our ankles with the blindfolds over our eyes, and they kept us under interrogation here near the hospital in a civilian building for 5 days under continuous interrogation from their soldiers. At that time, I have being asked several questions. All of them are related to my job. They did not know anything about me. They did not know Khaled. They only asked one question. They asked me about my job as a general surgeon here at Nasser Hospital. what I did during the war inside the hospital. And after that, this was the only question they decided to take me to the prison for.
So can you explain where you were taken to, Dr. Alsed? Explain the interrogations you went through.
I underwent interrogation like 5 times, 2 times here in the hospital on field during the invasion of the soldier to the hospital zone. And after that, they took me in a military vehicle going toward Israel. During my stay inside the prison, I did not know anything about my position, which prison I am in, except with one time when I have a visit from my lawyer who told me that I was in DT Man prison for 3 months. And after that, they sent me on 18th of June to offer military camp prison. It's all of these in prisons are in new prisons developed or established during October 7 war. And most of the prisoners I meet inside the prison are civilians or civil workers here working inside hospital, school, universities. During the interrogation here in the field and inside the prison, they took me 3 times to the interrogation. All of their questions related to the hospital, to the department in the hospital, if I saw any hostage inside the hospital, and that's all. And even after 2 months, before any interrogation inside the hospital, they decided to make like a fake court for me. They took me outside the prison in DT Man. I was in DT Man. They called my name. They took me outside the prison, handcuffed from behind, and they covering my eye with a piece of cloth. And they put me in the chair, and after they removed the blindfold, I was surprised with a video call on the phone, someone telling me that you are now in a court, and you are charged to be a terrorist, to be inside the prison until the end of the war. Without any prior announcement, I go with the man who was talking with me, that I did not have any legal consultation. I did not have a chance to call any lawyer, but they ignore anything we talk. They want to take the picture and the video for us, charging us with a fake charge. And actually, I did not have an actual interrogation or an actual saying for me before this court. In June, they took me twice to the interrogation with the same question. All of them regarded my work at Nasser Hospital during the war in the general surgery department.
Can you talk about who ran the prison and how they punish prisoners? Are we talking about the notorious State Teman, or were you also at Ofer? Can you talk about what I was reading about your testimony, beatings and unleashing pepper spray in the face?
If I want to talk about the brutality of the soldiers inside this DT Man, I will take more than 1 day, 2 days speaking in details about their brutality. In short, anyone inside DT Man at least once faced beating by batons, by fist kicking, or even get bitten by the dogs. They enter every 1 week or twice weekly. They have a force 100. They enter without a prior warning or announcement inside the place. It's not a prison, just an open area closed with a metallic fence. They enter this area with 100 prisoners. They order all the prisoners on their tummy, and after that, they choose randomly anyone inside the prison to beat him with a baton or to spray him with a pepper spray. And sometimes I heard a lot of testimony from prisoners inside the prison. They came to me seeking a medical advice because they have sexually assaulted by the soldiers using baton and sometimes using the electrical guns in their sensitive areas. And sometimes they spray their faces and their private parts by pepper spray. All of this happened to me. Every 1 week, we have one incident of invasion of these force to our stay inside DT Man.
And I mean, right now, we were trying to reach you all day yesterday. You're doing operation after operation. Right in front of you is the Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis. You were held in prison for a number of months. During your stay, you met other doctors, Dr. Mohammed Shahada, Dr. Wael Abdel Hadi, and Dr. Iyas Al-Bersh. Isn't Dr. Iyas Al-Bersh the relative of the well-known doctor who was found, whose body was found dead at Ofer military, at Ofer prison, Dr. Adnan Al-Bersh?
Yes, they are relative. Dr. Elias Elbors is a volunteer doctor. He was working in Ashifa. I have a chance to meet him inside Sdituman and also inside Ofer camp. I met Elias Elbors. He's a relative of Dr. Elbors, who was killed inside Ofer. He has been released recently, I think, and also Dr. Mahmoud Shahada has been released. But till now, after more than 1 year of invasion of Nasser Complex, Nasser Hospital, we still have a lot of medical staff inside the prison. We are awaiting them to be released soon. One of them, Dr. Nahid Abu Ta'ima, is the lead and the head of the surgical building behind me. He's the head of all surgical departments. Also, Dr. Ghassan Abu Zuhri, the head of the orthopedic department. They were captured and detained back in February 24. And till now, we are still waiting their release because no actual charge has been written against them.
Finally, what message do you have for the world, Dr. Khaled Al-Alsa? Many families were hoping missing doctor and medical staff would be released in the latest prisoner exchange. It was thought that Dr. Abu Safiya, well-known head of Kamal Adwan, the pediatrician, would be released. There's been video shown of him, but he hasn't been. What's your message to the world, recently freed, right back in the hospital performing operations, Dr. Alsa?
Speaking on behalf of all of the health worker who has been either injured, detained during this war, or all of the my colleagues who has been killed during this war, we as healthcare worker, we don't have any agenda against anyone. We just provide medical care for all civilians, for anyone coming to the hospital seeking for the help, for our help. I remember back in January and February, I was here, the only surgeon, the last hope for all patients in Khan Yunis city, trying to rescue our patients. So we don't have any military or any agenda behind doing our work. So please do your offer to all the international committee to do your offer to get released all of my colleagues inside the prison who are still now without any charge, kept in detention. And actually, it's not detention. They are kidnapped. And actually, they are kidnapped. They are not in a human situation, a human suitable situation inside the prison. So please, as soon as possible, do your efforts to get them all out free within us.
Dr. Khaled Al-Sir, I want to thank you so much for stepping outside the hospital and talking to us today. Palestinian surgeon at Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis, who was jailed for months at the notorious Sdeh Teman and then Ofer prison, recently released. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. As we go now from Gaza to the occupied West Bank, to Ramallah, where we're joined by Naji Abbas, director of the Prisoners Department at Physicians for Human Rights Israel. The group's new report headlined, "Unlawfully Detained, Tortured, and Starved, the Plight of Gaza's Medical Workers in Israeli Custody." If you can talk about the scope of your report, Naji Abbas, what you found. And then I want to ask you about Dr. Abu Safiya as well.
Good afternoon, Amy, and for Dr. Khaled. Actually, the address of our report can give you a direct picture to our findings. When we call it unlawfully detained, we are based on testimonies, and we have testimonies more than we published. that show the same pattern and the same story that Dr. Khalid described just now. All the doctors, and also including Dr. Abu Safiya, are facing the same situation, being brutally arrested without any cause from their workplaces because they are doctors, interrogating through torture, beating, violence, sexual abuse, being held without any charges, without any proper legal procedure, in a horrific conditions, including torture. We know torture before to get information, but here torture are being used in every day of the detention journey. It's a whole journey of torture and abuse, using the starvation policies, denial of medical care. So we tried in the address to give a direct picture to our all findings from the all of the testimonies that we got.
Naji, you assert that the medical workers have been targeted for the very fact of their profession. Explain.
First of all, there is the numbers of the healthcare workers who were arrested. We are speaking about hundreds. From the first invasion to Al-Shifa Hospital, and after that, Nasser Hospital, Al-Mamadani Hospital, and Kamal Idwan lately, we saw a pattern of attacking the health system in Gaza. And in every invasion, we heard about dozens of healthcare workers, staff of these hospitals, these facilities, being taken away by the Israeli soldiers. And we didn't know, we tried to find out what they are looking for, beside destroying the buildings of the hospitals, why they are taking the whole staff, the medical staff. So in through the testimonies, through our visits, we started to understood that the doctors were arrested mainly for collecting information. When you hear a doctor saying that he was forced to draw a map of the hospital, when he was asked about his colleagues, when he was asked if you can understand that there is a pattern of questioning, looking, fishing for information, and they weren't accused or charged with anything. All of the doctors, more than 100 medical staff who still till now in detention, have the same story of Dr. Khalid. They weren't charged or accused as individual with any offense, but all the interrogation were collecting information about their workplace, about their colleagues, about the health system in Gaza. And you, beside the doctors who were arrested inside the hospitals, we met doctors who were arrested through checkpoints of the Israeli army inside Gaza when they were trying to move with their families. So when the soldier heard that he's a doctor, he was arrested. So you can understand that they were targeted directly because of their profession.
Your report also details incidents of sexual assault, including the insertion of batons and electric rods into the buttocks, leaving signs of burns or injuries. In fact, Dr. Khalid has talked about treating at least three prisoners when he was in prison with such injuries while they were detained.
That's right. All the testimonies described, as I said, the horrific conditions, horrific daily beating, the daily beating without any cause, without anything happening before. When you hear more than one doctor, like in Zdeh Iman, they all started to know, the detainees, the doctors started to know the unit names that storm to the section where they are being held at, it's not a section. When they call Zdeh Iman, through the testimonies, you can see that the doctors are calling it Baraksat. Baraksat is something like a staple It's not a section, it's not a prison. It's a military camp, and there's staples, actually, that people are being held at, including the doctors. So you hear about the brutal violence of this unit called Unit 100. And actually, some of these units are accused, and that after that was revealed, that they raped, actually, some of the detainees in the last summer. That was revealed in the media. And this same unit entered every week, every 2 days, with dogs, beating, letting the dogs attack the doctors and the other detainees without any cause, without any cause, without any logic reason to try to understand what they are looking for through these policies. But you can understand it's just a way of torturing people. Mm.
30 seconds on Dr. Abu Safia. We've recently seen video of him since the first time since we did not know where he was. He's been detained. Head of Kamel Adwan. Naji, what do you know?
We don't know a lot. We know that Dr. Abu Safia in the first month disappeared, as all the doctors. Dr. Khaldisar disappeared actually for 4 months. And Dr. Abu Safia the same. He disappeared for 1 month. We didn't know anything where he was, in what conditions, why he are being detained. We didn't know anything. We know now that he's in Ofer prison. Just one lawyer managed to visit him. PHR lawyers are not allowed yet to visit him. We know that he was held in isolation, in solitary confinement for 25 days. With a cell alone, with disconnected to the outside world, and Dr. Abu Safia, as all the doctors, all the healthcare workers, nurses, and doctors and paramedics, are not accused with anything, but you can see that the Israeli media is like interrogating Dr. Abu Safia on media reports and accusing him with things that, on reality and in the Israeli media, he wasn't accused at. He wasn't accused with an offense that he did. But the Israeli media, this propaganda of the Israeli media and the Israeli authorities is part of the targeting of the medical staff, trying to accuse the whole Gaza healthcare system that take its protection, the protection that the healthcare system and these medical personnel have by the international law, taking this away through media reports.
Naji Abbas, I want to thank you for being with us. Yes, you see him with helmeted guards through a prison in shackles, appearing exhausted. His family condemned the video broadcast, saying, "We reject any media outlet publishing the video without addressing the psychological terrorism involved and exposing the manipulation of his statements." Naji Abbas, director of the Prisoners Department at Physicians for Human Rights Israel, will link to your new report, Unlawfully Detained, Tortured, and Starved, the Plight of Gaza's Medical Workers in Israeli Custody. Coming up next, we speak with the head of the Wayback Machine. Thousands of government web pages are being deleted. What is happening? Back in 15 seconds. Haiti Lev Campe, Haiti Get Back Up, by the Haitian musician, composer, journalist Jean-Pierre, once a guest on Democracy Now! He's died at the age of 71. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. We end today's show with Mark Graham, director of the Wayback Machine at the Internet Archive, to look at efforts to preserve thousands of government web pages being deleted by the Trump administration. In this first part of our interview that we do, Mark, if you can tell us what exactly is happening.
Sure. Let me first give a little bit of context. The Internet Archive is a nonprofit digital library with a mission of universal access to all knowledge. About 28 years ago, the founder of the Internet Archive, Brewster Kahle, pressed record on a new media called the web. And we've been working very hard every day since, getting better at doing just that, archiving much of the public web. We archive more than the web. We archive books and television news and microfiche and microfilm and academic papers, and I could go on and on. But the bread and butter of the operation here and through the Wayback Machine is archiving the public web. What I think we want to focus on today is efforts around archiving and making available material from the U.S. government. So in 2004 and every 4 years since, we have, in collaboration with others, focused on archiving much of what is published by the U.S. government before and after each presidential election. This is referred to as the end of term archive. You can read more about this by going to eotarchive.org. So every 4 years, we do a deep dive on tens of thousands of government websites and millions of pages. So this last time around, we endeavored to do this. We compiled a list of web pages and websites in collaboration with the Library of Congress, the National Archives and Records Administration, and the U.S. Government Publishing Office. So we had this big list. And before the election, we went through and we worked to archive as much of that material as we could. That was phase one. We did a second phase after the election. And we're now involved in a third phase of this work, which we started post-inauguration.
So can you tell us about what you understand the Trump administration is doing right now, removing thousands of pages related to diversity and gender ideology, as they say, as well as targeted scientific research and environmental justice data?
Yeah, absolutely. There have been thousands and thousands of pages removed. Many websites, for example, the USAID site, if you go to it right now, it just basically tells you how you can get your materials if you hadn't been an employee there. A site called reproductiverights.gov. I could go on. Many, many sites are just gone. And then, like I said, at least 8,000, we actually don't know the number at this time, web pages have been removed. And these are web pages that deal with topics like education and health issues, climate change, aviation, weather. There was even a web page on the White House website about the U.S. Constitution that's not there anymore. And so the good news is that we've gotten pretty good at this effort. We, as I said, had done a very thorough job of archiving this material. I should also say that we do this work in collaboration with many other organizations. This end-of-term archive is a team effort. We work with Harvard's Library Innovation Lab, the University of North Texas, Stanford Libraries, the Common Crawl Foundation, and EDGE, Environmental and Data Governance Initiative. And I want to highlight the work of EDGE because what they have historically done is after the fact, after a change of presidential administration, they've gone in and tried to analyze what in fact had changed when the new administration came in. So they're deep in doing that work now. We also,
as we have 20 seconds for this segment, Mark.
Excellent. Okay. So, you know, I'd say the Wayback Machine is available to anyone. It's a free public service
at web.archive.org. Will it stay up?
It's stayed up for 28 years, and we're pretty sure it's going to stay up for at least 28 more.
So, Mark,
absolutely.
We want you to stay with us. This is all too important. Mark Graham is the director of the Wayback Machine at the Internet Archive, also part of the end-of-term archive for federal websites. We'll do part two, web exclusive, posted online. I'm Mimi Goodman. Thanks so much for joining.
Indulge yourself in the cultural and folklore traditions of Italy on Il Sole Italiano every Sunday from 2 to 4 p.m.
Eravamo ancora fanciulli e ogni sera su quel prato.
You are now tuned into CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC. Want to know more about the channel? Find us online at cjsf.ca.
Radio Rewind.